The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Oh, this is a piece of cake. This is so easy. You guys get all uptight. Come on. I had 10 kids. We had time warp in my family. Look at Eric running around. Andrew's in there. Where is he? Computer's not even in front of me. Why? Because I was talking to Al Cresta. We're sitting in Al Cresta's studio here doing an interview.
We'll get the red carpet later.
And eventually they said, you got 30 seconds to get on the air. That's 25 more than I need. Good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. I am Dr. Ray Guarendi, and I'm sitting again in the studios here at Ann Arbor, heading, good Lord permitting, to Lansing tonight, but given the big blue blob that's sitting over half the state of Michigan, I don't know. But so far, I mean, those people in Lansing are not sissies. They're going to get out. If this was in Bismarck, North Dakota, I wouldn't be worried one whit. Okay, so 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL, the number to call to get onto the program. I am a psychologist. What type? Clinical. Those are the people that, I was going to say those are the guys, but you can't say that anymore. You know, you got to change. You can't use any male word for the whole human race. You can't do that, not allowed, even colloquialism. So I am one of those folks. I think you can still say folks, can't you? Doesn't have any gender implication to it, does it? I'm one of those folks that does the assessments and the testing and the therapy. That's what you're supposed to do. So here on the program, I can't do any of that. Kind of an irony, isn't it? But we can educate, give ideas, thoughts, maybe some helpful tips. I like to call them nuggets, psychological nuggets. Sometimes it all just comes down to me saying, hey, what are you worried about? And then you guys give me credibility because you think I know what I'm talking about. I wonder how long I'm going to be able to get away with that on this program. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get on to the program. I have started listening to the conversion story of a delightful woman. Met her, I don't know, 10 years ago. Jen Fulweiler. Jen is, she's just a classy lady, bright lady, really cool. And I'm listening again to her conversion story. And she said one of the things that kept her an atheist, she grew up an atheist, her father was an atheist, he was an engineer. And she said he was a materialist, he fancied himself a scientist. And she said that one of the things that kept her in the atheist mindset was that, something she got from her father, that we're good people. We're in many respects, we look at the Christians around us, there's no difference between them and us. I'm a good person. You probably hear that from a lot of folks, don't you? I'm a good person. Well, first of all, it is a self-declaration. Who says you're a good person? I do. Whoa, that's great. I say I'm a fleet-footed major league center fielder, too. Nobody would believe me on that one. But you got to believe me when I say I'm a good person. And I guess, in a funny sort of way, I think it'd be harder to be a good person than it would be to be a major league fleet-footed center fielder. Good person is much broader talent. And she and her father, and to some degree her mother, saw that as that's all you had to be. You'd be a good person. Well, what is good? We just assume. See, it's one of those cliches that has become a mantra. Nobody takes it apart. Well, people do take it apart, but most folks who utter it don't take it apart. What is good? There are certain radical forms of religion that believe it is good to kill innocents. Well, we got a big section of the country that says it's good to kill babies. Dr. Ray, that's not fair. They're not babies. They're babies in the womb. It's different definition here of a baby. Well, I suppose some people could make that argument, but not so much anymore because there's a movement towards killing a baby as it's born, and even thereafter. But they say that's good. They celebrate that as good. So how can one know what is good? I'm good. Okay. What does that mean? Always thrown back on what does that mean? But here was Jen and her dad, and I think her mom, all very comfortable in that declaration. Why wouldn't they be? They decided it. If I say I'm good, then by definition I set the standard. Because when I declare I'm good, it is according to what I say good is. So I'm 100% good. Anything I do by definition is good. Or even if I acknowledge, no, I do bad things. Okay. By whose measurement? What is bad? Well, you don't kick a puppy. You don't punch somebody in the face. You don't lie. Wait a minute. Says who? If I am nothing but a sophisticated animal and I want to kick a puppy, well, I'm superior to that puppy. What is there to say I'm not supposed to do that? The culture says I'm not, and there seems to be an agreeable morality that you don't kick a puppy. By the way, there's a certain irony that far, far more people would get upset at kicking a puppy than they would at killing a baby, but I'll leave that aside for right now. But that just goes back to the definition of good. I'm good because I don't kick a puppy, but I'm also good because I think it's okay to kill a baby. So you see, the idea that I'm good is absolutely no kind of logical rationale for declaring I don't need a God. The statement itself says you need a God because you got no measuring stick.
Well, who says God's measuring stick? Christians can't agree on God's measuring stick.
Well, maybe the Christians don't agree, but there is, if I may be so bold to say, a certain set of standards that God has given us through, well, what people recognize as the Bible and what they recognize as historic Christianity and what they recognize as the Catholic Church, who's been the one most consistent on these ideas of good. So it's the best we got. So if you're going to argue that,
well, even religions don't agree on what is good.
Yeah, well, they agree a lot more than Ray Guarendi saying I'm good, because the guy in the next office can say he's good, and we live completely different ways. I just left my wife and four children. Why? I deserve to be happy. I'm still a good person. You see, I'm good is no kind of rationale for anything. It's nutty. It's goofy. But it shows you the power of humans to believe what they want to believe as long as it serves their best interests. Logic has no place in my preferences. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray.
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon. Don't go anywhere.
The Wine Palace in Livonia is a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio. The Wine Palace is a family-owned business for over 60 years where customers come in for great service. The 9,000-square-foot store includes a humidor, specialty wine room, deli, and a rare and collectible spirits room. We have the largest selection of spirits in the state at the most competitive prices. Ask for one of the brothers, Cliff or Kelly, and thank them for their strong support of Catholic Radio. Delivery is available. Please visit the Wine Palace at I-96 in Middlebelt or at winepalace.net.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objective risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Light of the East. Weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, as we complete Christ's descension to earth, Zacchaeus the tax collector ascends the tree and prepares us for the season of Christ's ascent to the cross and to his resurrection.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9. On 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
So good to be with you. Oh, there's that word again. Good.
I guess you can use it that way, as delightful to be with you. You know, another thing before I get to your phones, another thing I hear an awful, awful lot, and it struck me as I was watching one of my favorite sitcoms from the 90s. They kept saying, I just want them to be happy. I don't care what she does as long as she's happy. I'm going to have to talk about that sometime, too, because that is as dumb as a cliche as I'm good. I want to be happy. Happy? Are you happy taking cocaine? Does that make you happy? Yeah, happy could be self-destructive. Happy could be a terrible way to exist, if that's your main goal. If that is the overarching principle that somebody wants for you. I think I'd much rather say I would rather have you be morally well. All right, well, that's just my thoughts. Let's go to Jacob from Nebraska, Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, Dr. Ray.
Appreciate the call, buddy.
Yeah. So I just want to kind of preface what my question by saying that I recognize that most people, I was going to say everybody, but then I think you're probably an exception, Dr. Ray. But I think everyone comes from a certain perspective of self-centeredness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just kind of comes from our fallen human nature and from just the nature that we are the center of our own world, right? So we see our own perspectives, mm-hmm. and it's harder. We have to make an effort to see other people. And so, kind of given that, I'm wondering about the phenomenon of narcissism. I think that it's something that's becoming more common in our isolated culture today. But I also imagine that that term can be thrown around rather loosely, kind of like toxic, like you've talked about before. So I was wondering if you could just share some thoughts, maybe some comments on how you might recognize who are narcissistic people in your life and maybe some ways to interact with and deal with those people if they're friends and family that you have to interact with. So, I'll take your answer off the line, but I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks, Jacob. There's a certain irony to this whole narcissistic over-descriptive movement. It's funny because as we, I believe, become a more self-centered people, and I think that is a characteristic of us Americans because we're very, very materially comfortable, it breeds a certain amount of, I want my way. And then we say, well, you know, that person over there is a narcissist. I've noticed that, I don't know what the exact ratio is, but I got to believe it's real high, given how many people I describe as a narcissist versus my willingness to describe me as a narcissist. When I use the word, when most people use the word, it's to describe someone else. Maybe it's a characteristic of a quote-unquote narcissist to not notice that they're a narcissist. The irony there, you know? Everybody else says, oh, man, we take a poll of 100 people, 82 think that guy's a narcissist. He doesn't think he's a narcissist. That's why he's a narcissist, you know. That's one of the qualities of a narcissist. They don't recognize it. First of all, I think it's a terribly overused term. Secondly, I don't think it explains anything. All it is a summary label for somebody who has certain characteristics that we find very off-putting. Oh, maybe they're self-absorbed, they focus on themselves, they're not interested in you, they want what they want, they have little empathy for you. Yeah, these are all things that people don't like in other people. So we label that. All right, if it comforts you to think you understand what makes that person tick by calling them a narcissist, go ahead. But I'll tell you from the perspective of a psychologist, it doesn't help me at all. All I do is say, yeah, I just summarized a whole bunch of behavior. Okay, what do I do about those behaviors? Now, that's the crux of Jacob's question. How do you deal with people like that? Well, the first thing you do is you don't expect them to be anything other than they are. And by that, I mean, don't be surprised when they act self-centered. It's who they are. And until and if they want to do something about it, they're not gonna. They don't recognize it. So quit beating your head against the wall that they act the way they've been acting for the last X years that you've known them. It's who they are. Secondly, a lot of what they say about you don't take personal. You can't. It's clouded. It's their template. I see other people certain ways that I don't see myself. That's a very common thing somebody will say about a narcissist. He accuses people of the very same things he is. Yeah, that's right. That's one of his traits. So you really don't get offended. To me, somebody that is enormously self-centered, they don't have the ability to offend me like somebody would that I really respect. Somebody that I think is a humble human being. Somebody that I think that's a kind-hearted human being who tells me something about myself that I don't want to hear. They got a lot more credibility than somebody that I look at and I think to myself, what a difficult person to relate to. That's two. Three, you got to make a distinction between narcissism as a clinical diagnosis and narcissism as a pop psychology label. Most of us use it as a label. That's all. To make the clinical diagnosis, it's a judgment call. How extreme is too extreme? So many personality diagnoses, that's what they are. You've got to decide how much of this pervades the person's existence. How like this are they? And if it's extreme enough in a clinician's opinion, then they get the label. But for the most part, it doesn't really matter because whoever lives with them's got to deal with them. So if I say, my son's oppositional defiant disorder, all that means is I got to deal with his behavior. Same with narcissism. And I will say that is a personality trait du jour. It's now one of the new labels. And clinical labels make their way into the popular conscious. They become something that everybody knows a little bit about. And when they do, they use them. My brother-in-law. You know, I've been reading on the internet, he fits everything that they describe as a narcissist. I've always wondered why he is the way he is. That's because he's a narcissist. No, it isn't. It's not because he's a narcissist. It's because he acts that way, and we don't know all the factors. The fact that we called him a narcissist only means that we've said, well, sure does seem to do a lot of things that come under the umbrella of narcissism. But the vast, vast majority of people who call somebody else a narcissist, they don't go to the DSM-5 and say, oh, look, I've looked at all the conditions here, and in my clinical professional opinion, he sure seems to fit. No. It's just kind of like an informal label. I've never used it. Not in person-to-person relations anyway. Maybe I've used it clinically, but not in a person-to-person relationship. Why? It doesn't mean anything. It just means this person's got a whole lot of characteristics that I would think are extreme and that I don't like and that make them hard to be around, and they don't relate well to other people because they're too self-focused. Okay. I got it. So, Jacob, I hope that helps, my friend. 877-573-7825. Valentina! You know what? I think this is Providence. Valentina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What day is today?
Not Valentine's Day.
Tomorrow, right?
That's correct.
I think, now maybe I could be way off on this, but I think this is God putting a stamp of approval on my program. What do you think?
Of course it is.
In all humility, yeah. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Never even noticed that. God saying, yep. Keep it up, Ray.
All right.
Hi, sweetheart. Thanks for the call. What's up?
So, my 4-year-old grandson, he's a little drama king, and we know that. The thing that we're not sure how to react to is out of the blue, for no reason, like he gets real angry, you know, and my daughter-in-law tries to take a deep breath and calm down. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. How would you react to something like that?
Oh, I'd probably call him a narcissist. Yeah. And you know, in the irony, he is. As a matter of fact, if you took the characteristics of adult narcissism and you looked at a 4-year-old, well, let's think about this a second. He's pretty much concerned with himself, isn't he? I would think, at age 4. Yeah, at age 4.
Naturally.
Yeah, and he probably doesn't have a whole lot of empathy for others, does he? I mean, he doesn't really know empathy is kind of a mature characteristic to be able to put yourself in another person's shoes, right? Yeah, okay, so he's got that. Yeah. Let's see. He really wants what he wants when he wants it, and he gets very, very, very,
but
very
frustrated.
But it's
nothing that he wants. We can't figure out what is it you want. Like, just out of the blue, like...
Valentina, do you know why you can't? I'm going to tell you why you can't. Are you ready?
Yes.
Because you're looking at this from a grown-up's eyes. How are you going to try to figure out a 4-year-old? Something happens. He reacts. You think that's a terrible overreaction. There's no way he should be that upset over something like that. Right? Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But the variable that you are leaving out of this equation is the variable 4. That's the variable. I am not at all so much concerned that he erupts and you can't figure it out. That doesn't bother me. But you know what you got to do?
What's that?
You got to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when he throws a fit, what are you going to do about it? You going to put him in a corner? You going to make him go lay on his bed? Are you going to take whatever he's throwing the fit over? Because you want to show him, you do this, son, which is typical behavior for a 4-year-old, but we're going to try to train you out of this because we got to show you, you can't just keep letting your temper go loose every time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key here. The fact that it's inexplicable, that you don't really get why he does what he does, that doesn't mean anything. He's 4. You can't know how he looks at the world, and it goes inside his brain and starts swirling around all over the place and then comes out as a temper fit, and you think, what the heck was that all about? You can't. You can't figure that out. And I am so glad you called, my dear, because happy Valentina Day before.
program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Finding a doctor who respects your faith can be hard. Consider Emmaus Health, providing primary care and mental health services for the entire family. Now, in conjunction with St. Joseph Mercy Health System, Emmaus is proud to introduce Dr. Steve Hickner, an OBGYN who is NAPRO-trained to manage infertility. Call 734-930-4020, visit our website at emmaushealth.org, or come visit us at Domino's Farms Lobby L. Faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare. Emmaus Health.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. The American people have never accepted late-term abortion. Yet since Roe v. Wade, abortion on demand at any time of pregnancy and for any reason has been our federal policy. But many states have started to limit abortion to 20 weeks. Also, the Supreme Court is becoming more pro-life. Therefore, abortion advocates are nervous. So New York and various other states have taken steps to make sure their state law allows abortion even to the day of birth. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo even had Sarah Weddington, who argued the pro-abortion side in Roe v. Wade before the Supreme Court, at his side when he signed the bill. That should awaken us that this extreme policy is not new. Abortion until birth is the legacy of Roe v. Wade, and it's time for it to end. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Dr. Ray Grandy here. Thank you so much. I appreciate the company. Really do. If I didn't have you, I wouldn't be here. I'd be here, like, on Earth, you know, and stuff. But I really wouldn't be here on the program. You make the program. It's a call-in program. It's not a host-in program. 877-573-78 25 877-57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program. Dan, South Carolina. Hey, Dan, what's up?
Hey, Dr. A, fairly long time listener, ever since Catholic Radio got on a much better station here in Spartanburg. Anyway, it's been a pleasure listening to you.
Now, Spartanburg, is that West Virginia?
No, it's South Carolina.
How close are you to Raleigh?
Probably about a good 3 hours.
Oh,
I think.
Okay. All right, I'm heading down to Raleigh, God willing, in a couple of weeks, and I just thought maybe I could co-opt another audience member, but no, I wouldn't expect you to drive 3 hours.
Yeah, I'll keep that in consideration, though. That's
okay.
Cool.
Well, so kind of a same old story you got here, buddy.
Yeah.
How close were you, and how long did you stay together?
Well, so, I mean, the interesting is, the thing is, we never really, you know, dated, right? You know, we never really made it a thing that we were dating, but we got very close to her. I mean, our families were very close, too, and that's kind of why I was treading lightly, I guess, if that's how you want to put it. But, We are fairly close. You know, we talked about things a lot, and we message each other a lot. And so that's why it was just kind of weird for me, right? Really, all I'm wondering is, where does my relationship kind of go from here, right? What should I be trying to do that she's experienced this very personal problem, right? And, you know, she's back now, and she's with her family, right? And they rejoice. They were very happy and stuff. But it kind of came out of the blue, and a lot of stuff doesn't really make sense to me that was happening at all. She even defended this 31-year-old guy that she went with and said he didn't do anything wrong necessarily, and that she was almost the instigator. She was taking more responsibility than he was.
Let me see if I got this, Dan. You probably had some emotional attachment to this girl
And you're not sure if she had the same to you. You guys were friendly, close. You may have wanted more, but you don't know if she wanted more. And so when she went to be with some guy, however that manifested itself, she looked upon that as a romantic relationship different from yours. Now, am I wrong on that?
So she's claiming it wasn't, there was no romantic interest at all. And I almost, I believe that to a certain extent, right? I'm not worried about the fact that, you know, we might not be together necessarily. As looking at it from just as a friend perspective, right? Not as boyfriend and girlfriend, but just as a person who's close to her and, you know, planning on spending time with her, doing whatever we did. What's my role now exactly? Should I ask her questions about the whole scenario at all, or is that purely something that I should leave up to, you know, discussing with her parents?
If you're going to stay friends, I probably wouldn't ask much.
Gotcha.
If you want to look at this as a potential marriage, boyfriend girlfriend kind of thing, then at some point, yeah, I would want to know, and I'll tell you why, because I kind of want to see how she thinks. I would want to see what was that all about. What was your motive? What were you seeking?
Right.
I would want to know that. I wouldn't threaten her with it. I wouldn't give her the third degree. But I would be curious if this relationship is more than a friendship. Now, if it's just a friendship, it's none of your business.
Right. Okay.
You know, kind of thing. And if she wants to tell you, she tells you. And you could even if she looks back on it and says, I really was confused, I don't know why I did that, I have no idea why I did that, then maybe you could ask her questions about it, just explore it.
Gotcha.
But,
So this is worth mentioning, right? So about an hour before she left to go on this fling, she actually messaged me and just said, pray for me, I'm going through some things right now. So that was the kind of kicker for me, right? That, you know, why'd she send me that message at all?
Well,
she was kind of concerned about things.
You're talking to a guy that, okay, I can't help it. My spidey senses go up all the time. Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody says, pray for me, I'm going through some things. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever those things are that may be happening to her, perhaps outside her control, I'd say, wow, okay, she does need prayers. But if she's saying, pray for me, I'm going through some things because I'm just about to behave really stupidly.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't behave, pray for her, because she doesn't have consequences from her foolishness. On the other hand, it shows a lack of insight. It kind of even implies, well, this is about to happen to me. Like she's a third party.
Right.
I'm running off with some 31-year-old guy. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it's going to lead to. I don't know what's happening. But I'm all just confused, so pray for me. Okay, I'll pray for you, but maybe not for the reasons you think.
Right.
Okay, yes, that's like that kind of thing. So I guess the summary on this, Dan, is it comes down to what's your relationship. If it's friendly, shut your mouth. If it's not, then yes, you're going to want to know what was this all about and maybe gauge a little bit the potential for it happening again.
Right.
Okay, and that was an impulsive move on this part, and you want it on her part, and you want to know, is this part of her style? Is she just an impulsive person? Or what was really happening?
Right.
Okay, buddy. Hey, thanks. Thanks for the call.
No, thank you.
I'll talk to you. Karen, you hold on there, dear. I don't want to grab onto the call right now because I know I'd have to be interrupted. But I will tell you this, Karen. I just want to say, despite what you think, you don't. Not that you don't think. I'm sure you think. But what you think you have, you don't. But that doesn't mean we still can't deal with it. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. What else do I want to say? Yeah, my Facebook page, I guess we're still putting things up on that. My delightful Facebook page manager, a very competent woman who was in the world of marketing for many, many years. Very secular. Now she's a faithful warrior. She's a homeschooling mom of several. And she's been managing me. And without her, there's no way. No way, no how would I do it. I can't. I don't know how. 877-573-7825.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
Fire on the Earth's Peter Herbeck on living for God and for the world's possessions.
Whatever they are, the things you want to possess and have in this world, we sometimes hide them from God. We don't want to bring them into our relationship with God because we're afraid He might say something. We don't want to hear about those things. You can't have both. And Jesus is saying, as long as you hold on to those things, you're not going to make progress. At the end of your life, when I call you home, the story of your life will have been written. It will be all there for my Father to see. What did you want in this world? Did you really seek God? Did you love God first? If you did that, there will be a glorious story that's communicated for all eternity. But friends, if we were half in and half out, or Jesus talks about as being lukewarm, that mainly our Christianity, our Catholicism, is kind of driven by a sort of slight sense of guilt, that's all going to be revealed. And there'll be tremendous sadness. And the Scripture says we will pound our chests with regret and cry out, "What was I thinking?" So that's why the Apostle Peter says, strive, friends, make every effort. For if you do this, you will never fall. Embrace it. Run after it.
Peter Herbeck spreads fire on the earth, weekday mornings at 6:30 and again at 11:45 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Dr. Ray Garandi here. One of the difficulties of doing a program like this, and you people don't understand this, is that whatever happens prior to the program, even if it's 1 hour before, that creates stress and severe disappointment. You have to go on the air and it can't exist. People can't listen to you on air and say, "Oh, he's happy today. Oh, he's subdued today." You can't do that. I can't do that. Well, I'll share with you something that happened to me. This really distressed me. I got a text from my son, Andrew. He said, "Dad, Melissa and I watched the first half hour of Marvel Infinity War tonight. And some guy," now this bothered me a lot. This really bothered me. "Some guy," I almost can't say it, "beat up the Hulk." Now, nobody can beat up the Hulk. That's just not going to be. So I texted him back. I said, "No way." Double exclamation points. I said, "That has to be fiction." He texts me back, "There are magic stones that gave him superpowers." I don't care. There's no magic. That bothered me for about 3 hours. I couldn't believe it. My world is crashing down if somebody can take on the Hulk. Oh, man. Probably Superman could. Okay, but Superman's DC. The Hulk is Marvel. They don't. That's two different worlds. So, but nevertheless, I came in and did the program. Now, dear Karen from EWTN, Karen thinks that she The Hulk had anger management problems. He really did, okay? Now, David Banner should be in therapy to learn to control his anger. Well, her kid, Bruce Banner? I didn't know that. Her kid is the Hulk. At least she thinks. She called him stubborn. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Stubborn. Karen? Now, you know you're being redundant when you describe this little guy of yours and you say stubborn 2-year-old.
Strong-willed, yeah.
Oh, strong-willed. Now, mm-hmm. I've talked about this on this program often. We got to get you over this strong-willed label.
Well, whatever you want to call it, or whatever I want to call it, behaviors are there that no matter what discipline I choose to take,
mm-hmm.
she don't care.
So you think, okay, now you think, my dear, that you're telling me something that I'm going to say, wow, wow.
No.
Because you know, if I've heard once, I've heard 5,000 times parents mm-hmm. say, this is a really strong-willed child, this is a stubborn child, because no matter what we do, it doesn't matter. You know I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know I'd say 4,999 times, well, maybe not quite, 4,900 times, I would say, no. There's plenty of things we could do. We need to just take a look at the whole picture and find out what's going on. So, let me give you a couple suggestions. One, it is important that you don't call her strong-willed. Because when you call a kid strong-willed, I've talked about this in 2 or 3 of my books, when you call a kid strong-willed, you're really kind of implying there's a certain expectation. No matter what I do, it's not going to work. This kid's too tough. All right? So the vast majority of strong-willed kids that parents call strong-willed are not strong-willed. They're kids. All right? We just expect them to be more cooperative than they are, and we've forgotten how uncooperative the average little kid is. That's the first thing. Second thing, she's only 2. So no matter what you've tried, you haven't tried it very long. For discipline to really work, it takes years. Okay? So we're not talking you've tried something for 3 months. And therefore, right. she still does it. No, of course not. 3, most of the time when parents describe this to me, here's the number one flaw in their thinking. They can't make discipline stick. You put her in the corner, you sit her on a step, she won't stay. So you're really not disciplining. Now, does she stay?
Uh-huh.
She will
yep,
stay?
She does.
Well, then mm-hmm. you're fine. You're absolutely fine.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If I was to ask her not to do something,
mm-hmm.
okay, and I set the boundaries,
mm-hmm.
or the line, if you will.
Okay.
You know, if you choose to do this, then this is going to happen. If not, whatever.
Very good.
You know, and so you put her in a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times she knows.
Sure.
So she'll set herself in timeout before I even get there to say it.
Then you don't have a strong-willed kid at all. That's really weak will. That's
there.
Easy.
Problem is she will not stop doing what she's doing. She'll take that.
Karen, no I got a question deal. For you, dear. Do you go to confession?
Yeah, why?
Do you say the same sins pretty much every time?
Excuse me?
Do you say the same sins to the priest pretty much every time?
Not all the time.
Not all the time, but
sometimes.
You, yeah. And how old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
Old enough to know better.
Right. How come you keep doing it? You see what I'm saying, dear?
Right.
Yeah, of course.
No, I get that. I understand what you're talking about, but there's techniques. I mean, how do you get them? I mean, you can pull things away. You can, so you do the same thing over.
You're not doing them over. She's only 2. Okay? You have to come
to
the...
close to 3, but
okay,
whatever.
Close to 3, whatever. I have a book called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It deals with all of those questions. And it talks about all the ways you can get kids to learn and how long it takes them to learn and what you have to do for discipline and how you make the discipline
consistency,
stick.
Consistency, I get it.
Okay. Well, but typically, like in your situation, you're operating out of a mistaken idea that your little girl, who's almost 3...
is going to get this. Well, yeah, she is, but it's going to take a long time.
Mm-hmm. What do you do if she she knows for sure she'll sit right there and look at you?
So what? They all do.
Waiting for a reaction.
They all do. They all know for sure.
Like if she knows she's not supposed to touch you, she'll look at it and put her finger right by it.
Right, exactly. Okay. That's what they do. That's typical. Is this your first child?
No.
Okay. So maybe you had one that didn't
do this. And the others, I've done the discipline, and
So she's
this one?
Okay, so she's different.
She'll go to the limit.
So what?
Well, I don't care if she's different. I'm just trying to find ways.
Well, you're doing fine.
I mean, different is
I'm going to have to let you go, honey, because I got calls back up. You're doing fine. First of all, she goes and she takes her punishment. That's 80% of the battle. So once you have that, it doesn't matter to you that she repeats it. Okay, honey, repeat it. You're 3 years old. Go sit down, please. And eventually, she's going to mature. She's going to realize on the 194th time that you do it, she's going to say, you know what, this is getting to be a drag. I don't think I want to do that anymore. That's all. That'll happen. Trust me, that will happen. Thank you, dear. Thank you for the call. Okay, Maureen, this is an interesting question. Oh, wait a minute, I'm past break. Okay, I can see Andrew through the plexiglass. Maureen, stay right there, because I have dealt with this exact same thing in the book I'm working on right now, and I had to define it before I went any further past the first chapter. I'm Dr. Ray.
You're listening to The Doctor.
The one known as The Doctor.
Come in, pull up a couch, let's talk. The Doctor is in.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
The Catholic Church has impacted history like no other institution. For more than 2,000 years, it's influenced politics and culture. It's seen the rise and fall of empires. Steve Weidenkopf has watched. He joins us on a journey looking at the timeless history of the Catholic Church and how lessons from the past influence us as we try to orient to the world today.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
On the next Christ is the Answer program, Father John Ricardo presents a pair of men's conference talks, meeting him for the first time and all over again, and a fireside chat with the Lord. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Randy here. Thanks so much for joining me on The Doctor Is In. Delighted to have your company. Marine from Massillon, Ohio, my hometown turf. Worked in Massillon, back in back in the 80s. I was there, and of course, always rooted for McKinley against Massillon. Went to the Massillon Car Show a couple of years back, that big honking thing they have in the center of town. Hi, Maureen.
Hi.
You know, I'm working on a book that deals with helping parents navigate this culture. This culture for parenting is hideous. It is against them in every way. And many, many good parents are watching their children abandon the way they were raised. The very first chapter, I talked about this, and I said, what is culture? Which is your question, right? What is culture? How do you define culture?
Right.
And I said, for the purposes of that book, it was going to be the reigning values, attitudes, beliefs, and behavior of the surrounding society. In other words, and I wish I had the chapter with me, I could summarize it better for you. In other words, how the overall culture thinks, what they value is the way to be. So using it that way, you kind of look at what seems to be the high-profile morals and attitudes of, if not the majority around you, the most influential around you. TV, movies, social media, celebrities, books, even in some respects religion, who has co-opted with the culture. And a parent who attempts to navigate that, giving their children morals that the culture looks at as barbaric, archaic, suffocating, it really, really has to be a strong parent. This is not a farm in 1880 anymore. And the amount of parental strength and self-confidence now required is way beyond anything that was required even 50 years ago.
So it's like when adolescents say everybody's doing it, only it's bigger.
Yes. Very good. Yes. Well put. I think I'm going to go back to chapter one and throw that in there. I think that's a great line.
Oh, you're going to give me credit?
If I sell a lot of books. Now, if I only, my last book was a million seller. Did I tell you that? There was a million in my mother's cellar. Oh, sweetheart, thank you for helping me to clarify this, but that's really well put. It's like when a teenager says everybody else is doing it, only bigger. Nicely put. Thanks, Maureen. Real quick to Josh. I'm not kidding. From Michigan. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Dr. A.
You're dating a girl whose mother has been either called or diagnosed alcoholic, and this girl wants to invite her girlfriend when you meet her mother? Is that it?
No. Okay. The question is this. So are you familiar with adult child of alcoholic?
Yes.
Okay. So to me, like, my mom is one. And I'm seeing a lot of the same, like, I guess, like, tendencies and things that adult child of alcoholics, like, exhibit. And I kind of, like, don't really know how to, like, bring that up, because there is, like, you know, you can get help for being that way. And I just don't really know, like, what's a good way to, like, bring that up in a conversation.
Hey, Josh, so you're asking me, how do I tell my girlfriend, I got some concerns about your possible personality here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'll really win her over. I guess I would say, first of all, it's not a one-to-one relationship. In other words, every child of an alcoholic doesn't have the same characteristics. It depends on the person. It depends on their personality. It depends upon their history otherwise. It depends upon their morality and religion. It depends upon the other important people in their lives. I mean, it varies wildly. Okay. So you can't just automatically assume that your girlfriend is going to exhibit the same characteristics that your mother does, or at least some of them. Now, so how do you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long you been dating her?
We've known each other for a while, but we've been dating for about 5 months.
Do you want me to giggle now or later?
you could giggle now if you want.
If you have concerns about the way this young lady was raised,
mm-hmm.
and some of the things that might have been missing in her upbringing, then you got to really get to know her.
Okay.
Really get to know her. You're not looking at somebody where you say, wow, I've seen her family, I've seen the history. Everything looks like this young lady has absorbed how she was raised, and I need more time to know that, but it's sure looking that way. You're not saying that. You're saying, I'm wondering here. And maybe even you're saying, I'm starting to see a few things that are making me nervous.
Yeah.
So if that's true, then you got to do nothing but take your good old time getting to know this young lady in a lot of situations, a lot of circumstances. Thank you, Josh. I'll talk to you. This is Dr. Ray. I got to run. Once again, thank you so much for the company. I really appreciate it. You make my life and at least on this radio show, easy. Thanks, Andrew Krucek, Eric Dumont. Walk with God, hold your kids tightly by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.